Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verse 12. 1 Peter 5 and verse 12, where we read, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, or perhaps it would be better as I reckon, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand." Peter is drawing his letter to a close. It's a short letter, but yet it's a substantial letter. It's got substance, it's dealing with weighty things. And he reminds us, again, of the basic subject of his letter. It is the grace of God. The grace of God. And he keeps on repeating that fact. Why? Because it's so easy for us to lose sight of the fact that we stand by grace alone, and that we have need of the grace of God day by day, and that God in his grace will enable us to stand. And therefore, this gospel, this trustworthy, true message, is the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He's calling us to remember that. He's hammering the message home because he wants us to stand, to be steadfast in the faith. Well, we trust that over these months, we've been looking at this letter, we have seen something of the grace of God as it is unfolded in the gospel, and that this has been helpful to us. But this letter, it was only in itself helpful to those who received it, as it was trustworthy. When people came across this letter, the question must arise: can you rely on it? Is it really a letter of Peter's? Is it the word of God for us? What does Peter do? He makes sure that we don't have a reason to doubt. And he's telling these people who are scattered throughout what is modern day Turkey, you can rely on this letter because I'm sending it by Silvanus. And in sending it by Silvanus, you will know that it's coming from me, Peter, and you can rely on me. And he commends Silvanus as a faithful brother unto them. Silvanus, a Latin name, in Greek, it's Silas. Silvanus Silas, the Silas of Acts that we read about, that is the Silvanus that we have here. And he's telling us he is a trustee. He's a faithful brother. You know that, he's saying. And I'm giving him it so that you will have confidence to receive this letter and read it and act on it. Let's notice how Silvanus is described then, and draw the lessons from that. Two things: he's a faithful messenger, and he is a faithful example. These are two things that we can glean from the history of Silvanus, or Silas, and what we find here in the scriptures. First of all, he is a faithful messenger. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. Well, here he is, a faithful messenger in delivering this letter. Now, we don't know whether Silvanus himself was an amanuensis, that is, a secretary. We know that Paul, certainly most of his letters he dictated to others and who wrote the letters, and you find that at the end of some of his letters he talks about how he's writing with now with his own hand. And so it's clear that another was writing what he dictated. You see the same sort of thing indeed in the Old Testament with Baruch and Jeremiah. It may be that Silas or Silvanus had acted in this capacity as an amanuensis, a secretary, and, well, he's a faithful brother. He wrote what I asked him to write. I dictated it to him. And you have the message that I, Peter, the inspired apostle of Jesus Christ, was given to write. We know that he certainly, Silas himself, was a prophet, and as a prophet he was one who would have been known to be faithful. We read in Acts 15 of how along with Judas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And the reference is to them receiving revelation, New Testament revelation, prophecies, before the completion of, which was a means God used to teach the early church of the New Testament before the completion of the New Testament itself. The apostles and prophets providing the foundation for the church. The church built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:21. The teachings of the apostles relying upon Christ. Well, he's a faithful brother. Certainly as a prophet he must have been known to be faithful, only claiming to be what was prophecy, what he had revealed to him by the Lord. You'll notice he's also a faithful postman. Way back in Acts 15, you have Silas and is it Judas who are with Paul and Barnabas, taking the decrees of the first general assembly of the church, the Council of Jerusalem, taking these decrees regarding the freedom of the Jews from the freedom of the Gentiles from the necessity of circumcision and Jewish practices. They're taking this message, this letter, to the various churches. Why was he chosen? Because he was faithful. You could rely on him. He wasn't somebody who was going to take the letter and write things in it and change it and corrupt it. He would be a faithful postman, a faithful messenger. Now, important for us to stop and think even in basic terms of these sort of things. Because we know that some servants, even of the prophets, were unfaithful. You think of Gehazi. And you think of how Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, did, to a certain extent, bring the gospel into disrepute in his dealings with Naaman. It was important that a servant be faithful in his calling. Well, here's Silvanus. Is he just the deliverer of a letter? He's a faithful man. That's important. And it's a reminder to us. Whatever calling we may have, generally and within the church, it's important that we be faithful to the Lord and faithful in that calling. For the welfare of the gospel is bound up with these things. And even it might be an obscure and very much a work that's not prominent that we are called to, but still unfaithfulness can have its problems. How often little things can cause problems? A mechanic doing shoddy work in a car may lead to the car breaking down or crashing, and you think of the Queen's limousines and things like that, and how they're polished up, and well, it might seem just a little thing to maintain that car. No one sees the power it is that it maintains it. You might see the driver, the chauffeur, but you don't see, the security people, you certainly don't see the mechanic, but how important. And a little thing can be, have serious consequences. Faithfulness is important. And something else. Think of how he's willing to be a servant here. You know, in many ways, Silas, Silvanus is playing second fiddle to Peter, as he did in elsewhere. Does that matter? He's happy to be a messenger. Let us remember the Lord values every act of service as people do. For as much as he did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, he did it unto me. Let us never demean or devalue anything done for Christ. A cup of cold water in his name is precious in the sight of Christ when it's given to one of his servants. There's a faithfulness as a messenger in his delivery of the letter. Notice he was going to be faithful in delivering the letter to them. It says here, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. A faithful brother with respect to you. Peter is not actually saying he has been faithful in regard to me, though that was true. Especially as thinking that he is, for the recipients of this letter, a faithful brother, and they know it. To you. In other words, they were aware of his own faithfulness. You see, he had been with Paul on his second missionary journey. And as we read there in Acts 15 and 16, we read of the regions that this letter was being sent to, that are referred to at the beginning of the book. We know that later on, in that journey, he ended up down in Thessalonica. And so he is mentioned in the letter to the Thessalonians. And Paul speaks of him preaching in Corinth as well in 2 Corinthians 1:19. He was known by these people. And known as someone who was a faithful brother, a brother. Someone who was a beloved brother then and a trustworthy servant of Christ and a lover of the brethren. And you see, this meant that as Silvanus took the letter from Peter to those people, they would receive it immediately. It's a friend who's come. Many of them will have met him. Not everyone, but many of them will. Silas is known throughout these churches. He is known to be trustworthy. He comes with this manuscript that claims to be a letter of Peter the Apostle, a letter that is to be received and read by the churches. Now, should it be received or not? You think of how others had disturbed the churches by spreading falsehood and lies. There could be those who, to help their falsehood and lies, their heresies, could write things which were not true. And they could put the name of an apostle at the bottom. We know these things happened later on in the perhaps the 2nd and 3rd centuries. And you've got Gospels which go under the name of Thomas and others, which aren't genuine. And they were rejected by the church. Here's Silas. We know Silas. Silas is trustworthy. He has been with Paul and with others. He's now working alongside Peter. He is bringing this word. And you see the word there for is immediately accepted. They'll take the letter. They will copy the letter. They will circulate this letter. It's a genuine letter. And they receive it as the word of God. The letter's not lost. In God's providential care, it is preserved, it is circulated, and it becomes part of what we know as the New Testament. Sometimes people say, how did we end up with the New Testament? Did the church gather together and come to a great decision? Did these various books in front of them, let's throw out some, let's keep others? Well, that's not what happened. The Romanist view, which is a wrong view, is that the authority of the New Testament depends on the church. The church says what is Scripture. The truth is, the church received the Scripture. Its authority comes from God, or it comes from Christ as the great King and prophet of his church. And yes, it came through the apostles and other writers, and it was circulated. But the word of God itself authenticates itself. It was received by the churches. And you find that in practice, these letters were recognized as authentic due to the writer, due to the postman who delivered them. They were accepted, they were copied, they were collected and circulated. And very soon, you find the church in agreement as well. These are the genuine letters that the Lord Jesus sent to us through his servants. And by the end, if not as you come to the end of the 1st century into the middle of the 2nd century, more or less of the New Testament that we have today, there was the odd dispute over some letters. Certainly by the end of the 4th century, there's total agreement. This is what the Lord has left us. And those other letters were rejected by the early church and were not used. And that's why we reject them. So it was important that Silvanus be the postman, that he delivered the letter to them. And you know, we perhaps don't realise the difficulties there would be in the early church. A man turns up with a letter. I've got a letter from Paul. I've got a letter from Peter. Well, is it? You know, we should be thankful that we have the written word. We've got plenty of copies. It has been circulated for so long. We have the complete scriptures that we can rely on and be thankful for. Because there were faithful messengers delivering this word. He's a faithful messenger in delivering the letter. And faithful to them is actually very important. And you'll notice he's faithful in expounding the letters to them. In Acts 15, verse 32, we find being indicated that they were explaining this letter from the Council of Jerusalem. We know that in 2 Corinthians 1, you find Silas and Timothy spoken of as preachers. No doubt, Silvanus here, as he goes to these people, he will read the letter, he will deliver the letter, he'll help them copy the letter, and he'll expound the letter. He'll take it and apply it to them and their situation. A faithful messenger. And now what the church needs today. Why is it in such a mess today? There are so many unfaithful messengers. Unbelieving ministers. Who reject the truth. Or who twist the message of God's word. How important to have faithful messengers. We know the preaching of the word is important. Because, well, there you have in Acts 15. You might say, was there a need to explain the decrees of the council of Jerusalem? Well, there was. It was preached. Was there a need to explain the law of Moses? Nehemiah 8:8. The priests preached and expounded and explained the law. They just didn't read it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is it just enough to read the word? Well, how shall they believe unless one preach to them, says Peter. Not read, but preach. In other words, we should remember that the expounding of God's truth by those who are faithful is a most important element and maintaining the health of the church and seeking the expansion of the kingdom of God. And Silvanus is a faithful brother. Let us be thankful for all the faithful preaching we have had. Let us not be content with anything less, because it weakens the churches. Silas, Silvanus, he's a faithful messenger. Notice secondly, he's a faithful example. A faithful example. He's a faithful example, firstly, of service. You see, here he is. He's known as a faithful servant. And surely he is being held up as an example to us. He's an example of humility. You think of how he's content just to be the man who takes the dictation, the secretary. A lowly task, an important task. He's happy to be the postman. An important task. If you read Acts 15, then one impression we can have is that Silas was, well, he was really second choice to be the missionary who would accompany Paul on the second missionary journey. It was going to be Barnabas. But there was this big fallout because of John Mark, who had abandoned things, and Paul was unhappy about taking him. Now, thankfully, later on, you can see there is a restoration of relationships. So, yes, at times there can be a fallout. We might wonder who was at the fault. We're not thinking of these things so much just now. The important thing is, things are sorted out. And you find Paul speaks highly of John Mark eventually in his pastoral letters. But you're Silas. Oh, well, Barnabas isn't going to go. Well, you come instead, Silas. How many people may have taken the huff? Well, you know, if I wasn't first choice, I'm not going at all. I'm not going with you. I'll go with someone else. Silas isn't like that. There's humility there. He's prepared to play second fiddle to those who are the apostles. He is prepared to be the second choice. He's not standing in his own pride. How often we can be like that. And we lose out, and the church loses out. Rather, let us be like Silas here, whose view seems to be, well, as long as I'm serving Christ, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I'm a doorkeeper in the house of God, that will suit me. Often, trouble comes in the church because of a lack of humility. An example, a faithful, a trusty, a right trusty brother. That's how we would describe him. Think of him. And as he is described in this way, surely Paul is commending him as an example to follow. You'll notice he's also disinterested. He's not out for himself. He's there in Antioch. He has gone up with Paul and Barnabas to deliver the decrees of the council to the people at Antioch who had asked this question about circumcision of Gentiles. He's gone with them to bring the answer of the council. They relate the answer. Judas, who's gone with them, he returns to Jerusalem. Silas hangs on. We don't know exactly why. But surely what it shows us, he is one who is not thinking of his own comforts, his own home. He's prepared to spend time there helping the brethren. Thinking of others. Or we might put it this way, not thinking about ourselves. That helps us to serve. You think of Christ. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. He thinks not of himself, but of others. That's what leads to the incarnation. That's what leads to him humbling himself to the death of the cross. Because he is not one who's taken up with himself. That's what's needed. What an example in Silvanus. And yes, there's faithfulness as well. He's a faithful servant. He's someone who's not out to declare his own ideas. He's content to declare apostolic truth. You know, you look at some people and wonder how clever they are in the pulpit. How novel they can be. Even if it is within fairly biblical bounds, they need to have a new take in this or in that. Well, unless they're sure it's actually the truth, they're better just declaring what they know is, let us say, the accepted understanding of the passage, which is probably the right understanding of the passage. He's not trying to get a name for himself. He's a faithful servant. She's an example of faithful service to us. One final thing, an example of steadfastness. That's a word that Peter has used a few times at the end of this letter. He talks about the grace of God wherein ye stand, or we might say the true grace of God. Make sure you stand. It's difficult to know if it's supposed to be almost a command to be steadfast here. Well, Silvanus certainly is one of these people who's shown steadfastness. We think of Paul in jail at Philippi. But who was with him? It was Paul and Silas. And they prayed and sang praise to God at midnight, and the prisoners heard them. He's someone who wasn't fazed by persecution. And as you read on, you find he's continuing in the work. The disciples get chased out of Philippi. They get chased out of Corinth. They get chased out of Thessalonica. Silvanus doesn't abandon the field. He remains faithful. He keeps on preaching the truth, along with Paul and Timothy. He's steadfast. Isn't it good when you see people are steadfast? Doesn't it encourage us as you read of those who have been steadfast in the faith? They've held up against error sweeping in. Or they've held up against threats of persecution. Be like Silvanus. Peter's been speaking of persecution. But be like Silvanus. Be steadfast. Be like Paul and Silas, who were full of faith, singing praise, singing the Psalms, no doubt, singing praise and praying at midnight, feeding their souls with the truth. That's what kept them standing. Using the means of grace, relying on the grace of God, they were steadfast. There's an example. Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. Let us be stirred by the example of those who have been faithful servants, faithful messengers. May that lead us to serve faithfully ourselves. And as they stood steadfast, may we do also. Let us pray. Lord, bless thy truth to us. We thank thee for those who have been wonderful examples to us of steadfastness in the faith. May we walk in their footsteps as they have followed Christ. We thank thee that we have thy word, a reliable word. We thank thee for those who have preached faithfully to us over the generations. Help us, Lord, to maintain that truth and to be faithful in our support of that truth. Bless us, we pray, and enable us to be faithful in a dark and cloudy day for Jesus.